Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And we are joined today by Thomas the Tank Engine. No, we are joined by Jessica Pidsley.
Hello.
And you are a mother of one.
I am.
An actor. The mother of one is actually real because we have a live baby.
A
real live baby joining us on the podcast.
Providing
today.
Sound effects.
So you're an actor, a mother, a performer, a writer, and soon to be hip-hop artist.
Oh, sure. Ooh. A bit of a hip-hop collective one. I like the fact that mother came second. Normally it's like you're a mother first before anything professional. I'm really glad you sandwiched that in there.
It's almost like you're a real person,
I know.
Isn't it?
How did you mother? Do that? You just totally just made me feel like I was more than just the giver of birth.
You're more than womb and boobs.
I know.
There we go.
Nice.
Obviously, having a child is the most important and best thing you've ever done, Jessica.
Obviously.
You have actually written a book, haven't you?
I did.
What's it called?
Well, it's called Jessica Pidsley's Imperfections, and it's a perfectionist guide to becoming imperfect. And it started because I was writing a blog one day, as you do, and I was suddenly writing about the idea that, like, it's so difficult to always to just allow yourself not to be perfect the whole time. I'm not saying I am. You probably find that.
No, Ellie would.
That was so funny. Is that so? How it works is Helen sends, and Helen usually writes the running orders for the show, right?
Yeah.
And then I sort of go through them, and I edit a little bit and just clean up the odd typo. So she sent it through Jessica with the book title, Jessica Pidsley's.
You corrected the error in the book.
And I corrected the error in the book title.
You're the sort of person that needs to read the book. But you're the sort of person that would read the book hating it because I kept all the errors in. The whole point of the book.
She would tisk.
I know, exactly. Tusk. And that's exactly what it's in. And I bet I've spelt there. Probably T-H-E-R-E.
Oh, God, that drives me up the wall.
You really need to read it. I can't cope with that.
No.
The reason that I wanted to sort of challenge myself... Yes, thank you, my darling. The reason I wanted to sort of challenge myself was to see if I could put something imperfect out into the world and see what it felt like to encourage other people to say, look, that thing that you want to do, that book you want to write, that idea you have that you want to do, that you keep not doing because you're scared it won't be good enough... Write it anyway.
Yeah.
Do it anyway. Yeah. See what happens.
So how did it work out?
Yeah, it was rubbish. and the thing is like I think it. I mean, I don't really know because I only edited it once and then I put it out there. But the feedback from it was really. I think a lot of people found it really reassuringly human.
I would probably read it and not notice any of the spelling mistakes. This is perfect. So that's ace. And now you were talking about blogs. You now write your own mother blog.
Yeah.
What's that called?
That's called Mother Courage, but it's spelled M-U-T-H-A.
Mother.
Like bad mother.
And tell us about that.
Well, basically, Mother Courage was an idea that I came up with 2 days before I had Albert, 2 days before I went into labour. And I sort of thought it would be really, really good to set up something so I could talk about parenting, you know, especially as a comedian. I thought, yeah, it'd be great to have a voice and a forum for that. But then 3 days after I gave birth to Albert, I gave birth to him at home in a pool.
Very nice.
Using hypnobirthing.
Very
good. Yeah, I'm not smug, but just...
just a bit. Just a touch.
Just a proud. Just
smug.
Proud. Yeah. It's a fine line, though, isn't it? It's a fine line.
Proud to the point of sort of smugness. But, you know, just to counteract the smugness, then 3 days after, I got postpartum psychosis. So, right. Yeah, as there you do.
That will take the shine off, I've heard.
I know, yeah. I know, yeah. That can do it. It's a bit of a party pooper. Yeah. But so that then Mother Courage sort of took a bit of a hiatus for a couple of months. But then obviously when I started, when I was recovering and when I was writing again, I started writing about my experience of postpartum psychosis. And so then Mother Courage was born in that sense. Mm. And I realised that actually it was a really, really apt name considering what I'd just been through and
yeah, amazing.
All of that. So yeah, it almost was strangely relevant suddenly.
Just to round things up. So then you thought, let's just get this straight. So you thought, right, what I'll do is I'll have a child, write a book, write a blog, cope with postpartum psychosis, and then I'll do a stage show. Yeah. That's because I haven't achieved enough in the last 6 months.
I got a bit bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, right, nappies, feeding, write a show, obviously. Yeah. Isn't that what you do?
A show.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, people said you didn't have much time, and I felt like I had quite a lot of time on my hands, so I thought, right, I better do a... fill it.
Yeah.
So, but no, I went to a lot of these classes, these sort of baby classes, and I was just sitting there looking around at all these other women just cringing, like with this forced smile on their face, singing these really cringy songs, and I was just like, am I the only one here feeling like an absolute...
No, you're not.
So I was like, right, okay, I want to write something where people can come along with their babies and we can laugh about the things that we're all pretending aren't funny because we're pretending that they're serious.
Yeah.
Or that they matter. And like, because I was thinking, like, when I chatted to some people, because I was like, sort of, why are you here and all that? Because I think a lot of us thought maybe our child's developing. But, I mean, I was just looking at Albert vomiting on various yoga mats. Just thinking, this is not aiding his development, I'm pretty sure. And he's looking at me kind of singing these songs going, seriously, what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And they can be overly sincere. It's like, welcome everybody, welcome your baby.
Tell us about your week, how old are they? And they speak to you like you're the baby, and I'm just sitting there like...
I remember in one yoga, because I had my first baby in Cambridge, she's like, now let's all hug our wombs. Oh.
But you see, I don't mind that. I love womb hugging. Ooh. as long as there's a acknowledgement that's funny.
Yeah.
I don't mind hugging my womb.
See, I'm a bit of a baby. I do meditation and stuff, but that I struggle with. I remember I did a meditation class once in Bali, and the guy was like, smiling in your liver area, smiling in your stomach area, smiling in your sexual area. And I was like, I'm struggling with this.
You're like, I'm out of it. I'm out.
I think I'm done. I think that's where my line is, so to speak.
I love it. It's a sexual area. Yeah. It's been so technical about the rest.
Yeah. So did the show come out of the blog or out of the book? Or what? It was the called show, Bring a Bottle.
Yeah, so right? Bring a Bottle, a stimulating hour for people who happen to be parents. And, the blog was really separate. The blog was much more about, like, recounting and working out the whole psychosis thing.
Mm.
And then the show was really just because... I'd really wanted to do that ever since before I had a baby. I thought it'd be brilliant to have Albert on a sling, or have my baby on a sling, doing stand-up. I just thought that'd be, like, totally cool.
Yeah. isn't it like having a heckler strapped to you? Like, it doesn't luckily, shout at you throughout luckily, the whole thing.
Luckily not so much. The hecklers were, like, all the other babies in the audience who were just like, ah! And, like, my husband directs me, and I said, like, really what I should have done is just set my husband Matt up and just said, right, can you scream in my face for an hour? And, like, let's just rehearse that.
That is how Helen and I practice dealing with hecklers. I just go, ah! At her for an hour and a half. And she cries.
Yeah, no, it works really great. Yeah,
you know,
it's good.
But how do you do? Because obviously, Helen and I did a show in Brighton where we had a lovely drunk Scotsman shout at us for an hour for a full, just commenting on what he thought of our performance, our amazing jokes, our breasts.
Yes, yeah.
Sure.
Lovely. I can't do a Scottish accent.
No, just try.
Lovely breasts.
Oh, God.
Oh my god.
Have you ever seen a children's cartoon called The Family Nest?
No.
That was the accent was not as good as The Family Nest.
The Family Nest, that's really old school.
Yeah.
That was good.
Every episode I tried a new accent, and every episode
I have to edit it out because it's racist quite often. unintentionally, but nonetheless.
Staggering.
Thank you. See, I've got commitment to bad accents.
Didn't say,
Yeah, you can have commitment to anything, my darling. Do you know what I mean? You can have commitment to heroin. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. But how do you deal when babies cry during your show? Do you ignore it?
I just got louder. Well, it depends. It depends. Like, you'll know, there are some people in your audience that you have to ignore, and there is because it's better than engaging with them. Yeah. And there are some people that you have to, you know, some comments that you have to deal with. So basically, when it was a little heckle from a baby, you know, I dealt with them, I had a chat with them, I sorted them out. Yeah. But if it was like 30 babies, it's like, yeah, exactly, do you remember? Okay. That's it. You eat your carrot stick. Just for the record, it is an organic carrot stick.
Wow.
I just don't want people judging me that I'm giving my baby giant Wotsits.
We do have Wotsit in a green packet, my love. I'm sorry to tell you. I've seen behind the scenes. These marketing people are clever.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So you mentioned before that you've been through postpartum psychosis. Did you cover that in the show, or was that too sort of personal?
Well, basically, no. just talk about it all. Like, I had a little bit about it at the end, but by that stage, the room was getting hotter, the babies were getting louder, and I thought, this actually isn't the time to talk about quite a delicate, intricate subject. Because, you know, like, when you're creating a show that's where they're not babies in the audience, you have that arc and you take the audience with you, and then at the end, you have the sort of poignancy and the. Well, you might not, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You should have an arc.
It's a sort of series of hurdles that we have to get over.
Exactly. So you take them to the sort of beautiful hurdle at the end. And I soon realised, like, I learnt a lot doing that first show for babies and adults. I was sort of like, yeah, just keep that stuff out, basically.
And the show was a hit?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I sent out an email just saying, like, tell me honestly, you know, just say at the start of the email, yes or a lovely one-off. And I said, if you say it's a lovely one-off, believe me, that's a lot less work for me. I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
But people genuinely seem to want more. So I'm just in talks with the venue to see if I can get some more going.
So how old is Albert now?
Albert's 8 months.
Right.
He just looks like a toddler. I'm just like forever going, yeah, he's on the 98th percentile. Yeah. Do people know what that means? That's it, eat that bread.
So you said it was just 3 days after you had him.
Yeah,
that
3 days that it started. Yeah. And basically just the turnaround was really, really quick because I didn't know what was normal because I'd never had a baby before. And so I'd heard about the baby blues, and so I was like, oh, maybe that's what this is. But I was going like really high, really hyper and like manic, and then really low. And so I was like, I remember saying to one midwife, like, this feels like the baby black and blues. I said, this feels like oblivion.
Yeah.
And so like at that point, I think for everyone around me, the alarm bells were like, okay, yeah. This is someone that I talked non-stop to the midwife for an hour.
Yeah,
right.
She didn't even have a look in, you know, and it was like so intense and full on.
So what's the next step with that then? Did they say to you, look, we think you might have psychosis, or how does it work?
No, it didn't happen like that at all. So basically, lots of, you know, you have different midwives coming round, and it was just midwives at that stage. And a few of them, they were coming round to weigh Albert and check, because he looked like he might have some jaundice and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they noticed that things weren't okay with me, and they were going to leave it a day and come back. But of course, a day in the world of psychosis is a long time, because it escalates so quickly. Now, like, I always say luckily, but it sounds a bit weird, because luckily Albert got jaundice. So it meant that we had to go to hospital with him. So I was, at this stage already, I was finding it very hard with transitions. I was having, like, panic attacks, and I couldn't, you know, I was finding it very hard to do anything or leave the house or anything, even though I desperately wanted to, because the psychosis had already started. And so we got him into hospital, and as soon as we were there, he had to stay about 3 nights. And as soon as we were there, everyone knew there was something really not right with me, really not right. And it just got worse and worse and worse, to the point where I was like having terror attacks then, and like hallucination, really imagining like this the thing, I called it, outside of my room. And you know, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. I'd slept, by the time I got we then the crisis team, are you all right, darling? The crisis team were called, and then I got sent to Hackney, the mother and baby unit in Hackney. Could have been sent anywhere in the country, but luckily in London, where we had friends. And when I got there, I'd slept 9 hours and 11 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will send anyone.
That will do it. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is like, psychosis latches onto your active fear. So, like, I was really scared of not getting any sleep, because the minute I was pregnant, everyone went, get your sleep while you can.
Yeah.
Or, like, you'll never sleep again. And so that, what people say to pregnant women is really important. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Because actually, if you hear things like that enough, and you're very vulnerable, that, when I was ill, that, I obviously latched onto that idea, and then I couldn't sleep. And it, I mean, I know it's a cycle, you know, you're not getting much sleep, but also the illness was stopping me sleeping. But still, it was like, it was so, so intense. And I had, basically, for people that don't know what psychosis is, if you think manic depression, bipolar, Tourette's, schizophrenia, all rolled into one.
Wow. Like a horrendous cocktail.
Yeah. Like one of those the one that gives you a really bad hangover.
So like a one-man band. So you could do everything at once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're just like that, playing the Tourette's harmonica and a little bit of the bipolar drum. Yes.
And you've got all that while having to cope with having just become a mother, having been through childbirth, having perhaps coping with breastfeeding.
Yeah. And I was breastfeeding at the time and everything as well. Mm. And also, I was terrified that Albert was going to get taken away from me. Yeah. And it was very close, like a couple of times they were nearly going to call the police because I was like then going to pose a risk to myself or it was just getting to that stage, so but it was hellish, and it was so intense, and it took me 2 months in a mother and baby unit to recover, but there was amazing things that came out of it as well, which you don't normally hear about. So that's something I always take from it, is like what it taught me. You know, we've had a little chat about some of the self-help stuff, like all my self-help things about all this shall pass, and you know, it is what it is. Mm. That stuff kept me going. Mm. I just held on to that.
Because I'll be honest, I'm a little bit nervous talking about this because I didn't suffer from psychosis, and I'm not a healthcare professional, and I haven't read a huge amount about it, and I'm sort of, you know, I think it's great that you're so honest and open and that we can have a chat about it, because I'm sort of like, I don't totally understand what it even is. Is it a chemical imbalance?
Yeah,
or is it
contextual? I think there's still not loads known about it, and I think you're right to talk about how difficult it is to talk about it, because I think that's the massive like psychotic elephant in the room, is like nobody knows quite how to start the conversation, and the thing is what they think it is that it's when you've the rush of hormones that you have when you first give birth, and all of that oxytocin and all of those hormones going around in your body, that linked in with then a sort of changing your sleep patterns and things like that, that combination can trigger psychotic episode. So why it's postpartum psychosis, obviously, because it's to do with that moment just after giving birth where everything in your body completely changes. But you know, the scary thing is, like, could it happen again? You know, was this the first of several episodes that aren't even necessarily postpartum? You know, it's a really not masses known about it, so.
And it could. I do know women who've had postnatal depression who had never had no history of depression. It was not something they were worried about. It was something they'd heard of, but they weren't, you know. And it just hit them like a train. Yeah. Was it like that for you?
Yeah, well, because I'd heard of postnatal depression, but this was like something completely other.
Right.
Like, and that was the thing. Like, I'd read books on pregnancy and stuff, but I just had no idea what it was. And so my mission, if you like, at the moment is just so that people have heard of it. So if nothing else, if they realise that something isn't quite right, that it's in the mix. Because the moment somebody said to me, it was actually my husband's sister, who's a doctor, said to my husband, I think she might have postpartum psychosis. I've been looking it up. And as soon as my husband said that to me, I went, that's it. That's what I've got. And I went, so it's not me then. And the minute I knew that, I got this mantra, and it was, I am Jessica, I have postpartum psychosis, it is not my fault. And I said that thousands of times.
Well, it's nice that you're wearing that on your T-shirt today.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right across my really lovely breasts.
But what is the difference between postnatal depression and postpartum psychosis?
Well, that thing of like the they both happen after you've had a baby, but I mean, again, I'm not an expert, so this is just my understanding of it. Depression is something where you're not having the hypermania, so you're going down, if you like, rather than up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas with postnatal depression, I think it's very much something where you're going more and more insular, more and more withdrawn, more and more down and within. Postpartum psychosis is more like hypermanic episodes, feeling like you're the Buddha, and like, oh my god, I had these amazing, I kept saying to my husband, you never need to work another day in your life, and like all this sort of stuff. I know, I felt amazing. I had this empire in my mind of everything I was going to have and do. It boosted my ego no end. Afterwards I was a bit like, okay, cool. But you know, I was writing reams and reams of notes. I wrote like 11 envelopes full of writing, you know. But most of it is unusable.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to have insight going back and looking at some of that stuff.
So what support did you have when you were going through this?
I had the crisis team from Norwich that came to the hospital, and they took me to Hackney. Mm-hmm. They found me a mother and baby unit, and the journey that should have taken 2 hours took 6 hours because of me being psychotic and like completely stalling and stopping the journey all the time. And then when I got to the mother and baby unit in Hackney at Homerton, and I was there for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And so I had all the help from all the psychiatric nurses, from the nursery nurses and consultant psychiatrists and doctors. And then the support, immense support of my husband and my family and my urban family, like massive. I mean, they're all urban family now because they're not just friends. Because you go through something like that and you're just like, okay, you're more than that, you know. And the support of Albert as well, who like was just completely awesome throughout the whole thing. He did all the right things at all the right time. And I know that sounds weird because he's a baby, but he didn't fuss. He kept quiet when he needed to, and he was completely my rock. And you know, the fact that we could stay together throughout that whole process has made everything in terms of my recovery so much easier. And I know I was, you know, sort of joking about the smug birth, but because he had such a gentle, calm birth, and because it was at home, and because it was exactly the birth I practiced for and wanted, it meant that I didn't feel that guilt about him. I knew he'd had the best start, and I knew, you know, but you know, there were times when it was really, really challenging. When I told her, we couldn't breastfeed anymore, I was devastated, absolutely devastated. But
now, 8 months on, it looks like your bond is as strong as anything. You
exactly.
Know,
and look at him eating that bread.
Look at him.
This is not a hungry baby.
No, he's well fed. I'm just literally giving him slices and slices of bread.
That, I know.
You can hear the growls in the background.
That's got to last him a week.
Yeah. He's like a duck.
Yeah.
He just loves the crusts. And I guess, where can people find out more about postpartum psychosis?
Well, I mean, really, I think the best thing to do is just Google it. just type it into the internet and you'll find stuff. And also, anyone that wants to know what it is like from within, or anyone that wants to know more about it from like a patient's perspective, if you like, or my perspective, then they can visit Mother Courage blogspot.
We'll put that on the website.
And just, I want to say, like, if you think you might be suffering from this, or if you've got a friend who's just had a baby and you think, like, what's the...
Don't go up to a new mum and just go, I think you've got psychosis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, word of warning.
You are seriously psychotic. I'm just equally going up and going, just pull yourself together. Come on, have a biscuit. Watch Deal or No Deal. You'll be fine by dawn.
Yeah, do not watch Deal or No Deal if you're psychotic.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's really
bad.
I know the answers. Yeah. I know.
There's £1 million in there. There's £1 million. It's not even an option. There's £1 million in there.
So what is, like, how should you approach that if you think you know someone who's suffering?
I think I think the thing is to talk to the people around that person.
Right.
Because actually, when you're going through that, there are only a couple of people that you really want to talk to. The rest are a threat. So often the partner or husband or, you know, whoever it is that's very close to them, they're a good person to talk to, because you can just say, you know, are you aware of this? Because actually, the person themselves, especially if they are going through that, they're not the ones that actually probably want to hear it straight away. Mm. And they could be a lot more resistant. I mean, I wasn't so resistant to it because I had a good understanding of mental health before.
Mm.
And also, I was very open to, I'm very open to all that sort of stuff. But my husband was terrified to mention it to me.
Mm.
Because I wasn't me. And he didn't actually know if he was ever going to see me again. That's really frightening. And I mean, I left my house to go to the hospital with him after he was 7 days old, and I didn't step foot in my house again for 2 months.
Mm.
And when I stepped foot back through my front door, I didn't know if I'd ever do that again. I mean, I really didn't. It was it's a horrifically terrifying thing. I mean, in terms of like, oh, my first couple of months as a parent, what will it look like? That was not it.
Yeah.
You know, but it does prepare you for being a parent, because you go, there's no such thing. Like, you cannot live in the future with when you've got a baby. Mm. You can't anyway.
Mm.
But especially when you've got a baby, you don't know what they're going to be doing in the month or 2 months, or you have to go with it.
Mm.
You have to let yourself, you have to reduce your resistance to it and just go. And just see what happens.
And how are you doing now?
I think I'm all right. I think I'm all right.
Yeah,
you said when you said that, no, you're a bit concerned.
No.
So this hypomania is like still happening.
No, I mean, you look great to me. But again, I'm aware from just knowing people who've had postnatal depression, even, that sometimes people look fine on the outside, but it's sometimes a day to day thing. It's an ongoing.
Yeah, I mean,
progress.
I always say that like my recovery's ongoing, and I think it's really important to feel that way, because I mean, I'm still working it all out and stuff. But what I would say is that I feel much more like myself. Because what I was terrified of is I'm quite high as a person anyway. So I was terrified, like when we were used to go into ward round every week where they talk to you about your medication and leave and stuff. And I used to just say, like, I'm really scared that you're going to medicate my personality and be like, she's a bit high, let's give her some more drugs.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's me. So they had to keep asking my husband, like, is this not... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
They had to keep asking my husband if it was normal.
So you went through this for 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And then recently you've written a show called Bring a Bottle. So, yeah. And this is a comedy show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's comedy. It's a comedy show, but it's... How I build it is an entertaining hour, a stimulating hour of comedy and entertainment for people who happen to be parents.
Yes.
So, you know, because, I mean, I just found that as soon as I became a mum, everyone was like, oh, who's this? Albert. Oh, who are you? Don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, and I think a lot of people then become like Albert's mum. So,
yeah.
Or Matilda's mum, or, you know, so I thought actually it's really, really lovely to have a show where their parents can come along and they can have a laugh about stuff that when I sent out some emails just saying, you know, seeing how people had enjoyed it and stuff, a couple of ones that came back I really loved. Somebody said it put a spring in my sleep deprived step, which I loved. And somebody else said it helped me laugh about things in the afternoon I've been crying about in the morning.
Aww, and I thought, that's so nice.
That's what I wanted to do, you know.
Yeah.
So that they all feel like, oh yeah, I feel like that as well.
Mm,
yeah, because everyone wants to look like they're doing okay, and that's totally understandable. But at the same time, we all have our...
Yeah. This is what me and Helen, one of the reasons we do the podcast, we're trying to say, we are not okay.
Yeah.
Listen to the state of
this
us.
This is a cry for help.
Yes. We are not waving, we are drowning. That's just to be clear.
Yeah. No. It's important that, you know, that it isn't all, because there's so much pressure and it gets so serious and it's all like what stage they're at and are they doing this and are they doing that, and actually, like, they're fine, and like, we're all loving, caring, I think, are we?
Yes.
Loving,
yes.
Caring,
mostly. Yeah.
Questionable.
78%.
To our children, yes. To our husbands,
not so much
sometimes. Yeah.
Screw those guys.
You did.
Oh yeah, that's what got me into this mess.
Exactly.
So yeah, did you find it easy to get back into writing and performing, having gone through that huge life-changing experience?
Yeah, because I think, in a way, because of the psychosis, I never stopped, because I was like constantly writing and stuff. So, and then when I got back, part of my process, if you like, part of my recovery was to then write the blog. So I was writing all the time then. So really, I mean, and Albert, thank goodness, was really helpful and just would like come along with me and when I was writing and sleep, which was really handy. Like, now he's getting older, I don't know if that's as possible, but I just wanted to do the show at least once to have done it and see if I could do it and for it to be done. So, you know.
Well done. Congratulations. I think you're working, you just find ways. So, like, we started the podcast when you already had Matilda, and then our boys were two, just turned yeah. two, yeah. I think.
That's it.
So, yeah.
That's like just a really like high intensity time as well when they're running about and doing all this, getting
yeah,
into
that,
everything.
That's why we wanted to get away from them. That's a great fact.
Right, let's do a podcast where we drink wine.
Yeah. Let's just do what we always do, which is sit around with people we like drinking booze, but let's record it and then tell our husbands it's serious creative work.
It's art, that's right.
But that's the thing, like so many people when I got back said, oh, you know, I'm glad that's over and you can put that behind you now. And I'm a firm believer in the fact that, well, I can't, and even though I can recover, and even I don't want to. In a way, it's like it's part of who I am, it's part of who I've been, and you know, it's time to put it beside me. If anything, like so, you know, I'm a big believer in writing about after the event as well as you know, sure. as well as during.
Yeah. Now, so yeah, so you've got the blog, you've got the show, you've got the book. And tell us about the hip-hop, which sure. I'm particularly intrigued
Well, you
by.
Know, I just suddenly realised that, you know, there was something missing in my repertoire.
Yes.
And I'd call myself Mother Courage, so the next step was obviously to create a hip-hop collective.
Makes perfect sense. Why
wouldn't you? We should have generated her a DJ name, Illie.
Oh, we should have. I thought you were going to say we should start a hip-hop collective, Helen.
Hold on,
I was going to say no.
We can have a rap-off.
No, we can't.
Come on with her.
No.
We have
no.
walked you down that street before.
There are some, you know, we try to be quite relaxed and quite informal about this podcast, but there are some hard and fast rules that I insist on.
No.
One
rap.
Is Helen is not allowed to do accents, and another is no one may rap. There will be no rapping, no rap. Beatboxing, no riffing, no
none of that.
Face-offs.
No.
Because we did it once. We did like a rap
for our festival special.
I'm sensing trauma. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing. I just to give you a taste, the rap included the word tarama salata.
Just quite I love
hard
middle
to rhyme.
Class rap.
Yeah.
I don't. But I'm sure yours is very good.
Puff Daddy would have been so pleased.
Yeah. We called the 50th percentiles and we're doing hip hop for tots. Oh. So we've got some of our tracks that we're laying down.
I see.
include Digital Native Baby, which is all about social media and Facebook and Twitter.
Oh.
And shut your eyes. and we're going to do videos for them as well. And so basically we're going to do videos and get them up and running and then get them onto YouTube.
And you're saying we? Have you got a comedy
Yeah, so basically,
partner?
There's two guys that I'm working with. One of them is the dad of another baby in our NCT group.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an MC and he works all over the country. He's the real deal.
Right.
And so he's on board. And the other one is a fantastic songwriter and producer.
Mm-hmm.
And does lots of stuff with all the big record labels and stuff. And
oh, so fantastic.
I know.
So you've got the boys.
I've got the lads. So yeah, we meet up every couple of weeks and lay down some beats.
Well,
I've got the lingo.
So watch this space.
Yeah.
We're going to play a clip of your... It's very exciting. We don't normally have clips on the podcast.
Ooh, no. We can give it a little flavour with an A.
This one is something a tiny bit different from the other ones that we're doing. But this is a mock-up of the Baz Luhrmann Wear Sunscreen track. And so it's called Wear Factor 50.
Don't waste your time being competitive. Sometimes other babies will eat, walk, or speak before yours. But this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I can almost guarantee you, in a few years, eating, walking, and speaking will not be what concerns you about your child.
Well, there we go. Life lessons.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's fab. Thank you, Jessica. If people want to hear the rest of that track, where can they hear it?
I can't yet.
Oh, that was an exclusive.
It's an exclusive.
That's an exclusive premiere.
That's exactly
hot off
that.
The press.
So hot, it's not even on the press.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah,
lava
that's the
hot.
Thing. We're working out how to go about it, but you guys will be one of the first to know.
Oh, good.
You've
well, we look forward
on.
To it.
So what is next? You've done all this creativity.
Well, I decided that having had a lovely birth, that I wanted to spread the word, and so a couple of months ago, I trained to be a hypnobirthing teacher.
Ah,
you seem to have a lot of time. I'm very.
You're a Renaissance woman, from hip hop to hypnotherapy. There's
exactly,
really no stopping her.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, the reason I wanted to train is because it. Well, I was going to say it blew my mind, but I thought that might not be a very good advert, given what happened after. But
yeah, I wouldn't use that as my tagline.
I'm not going to have that as a slogan.
Yeah. No, Jessica will blow your mind.
Yeah, exactly. No, but my slogan is Mother Courage Birthing for the down-to-earth hypnobirth.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I did there?
Good. Stop it, Helen. Stop it.
She already told you.
You know what the rule is, Helen. Oh, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving you. I want a divorce.
Uh-oh.
It only took a bit of hip-hop. Is that on the tape?
I'm warning you, that's where the line is. That's the deal. Dr. Phil would say, that is the deal breaker.
You can
cheat on me, you can become a drug addict, you can steal from me, but do not do hip-hop in my presence. I cannot.
And she did the hand gestures as well, which people can't, they couldn't see that, but I mean, they were intense.
Many thanks. So tell me how hypnobirthing works. I'm about to give birth, I'm going, this hurts.
Well, what I would say to you is how hypnobirthing works there is like, let's rewind the clock for a couple of months.
Okay, so
practice, basically, if you want a hypnobirth, don't turn up at the start of the marathon and not have done any practice.
Okay. Mm. Okay, I'm going with your metaphor here. So start when you're about 5 months pregnant. Yeah?
It doesn't matter when you start, as long as you know that it's not something that you can just, it's not about your thinking mind. It's about actually doing techniques prior to the birth that mean that you can switch off your thinking mind so that you let your body take over.
Right, okay.
You're going to the primal place.
See, Ellie's very good at this. She's a meditator.
Yeah.
And I'm not. Is that a euphemism?
You're like, give me the epidural.
I'm just always in the present, man. You know. Like. But so how does it work then? Do you give them things to say?
Yeah, well, a lot of hypnobirthing is fear release, actually. A lot of it is about looking at the stuff that you're scared of to do with birth and even after the birth. And
pain in my vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Reducing that.
Right.
Exactly. And all that talk of like pain all the time.
Yeah.
So like looking at your relationship to that.
Mm-hmm.
But then also scripts for deep relaxation and really just making sure that you understand what's actually happening in your body, because when you understand it and you're going with it rather than fighting it, because there's the pain tension the fear tension pain response.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that when you're like scared, you tense up, and that's when you're in pain. It's like going to the gym and like rather than like doing your nice sort of relaxed, you're both looking at me like, the gym? What?
Yeah. What is that?
Do me a favour.
I knew a guy called Jim once.
It's like going to see Jim and like instead of just like lifting weights with relaxation, if you're lifting them like really, really tense, it's going to hurt.
Mm.
And you're going to do yourself like no favours. So it's just about learning what's happening in your body, really, so that you can relax it.
So, go for it. So with hypnobirthing training, so what are the steps you take with your woman?
Well, so
with your woman.
With your lady who
Also, it's really important to say that hypnobirthing is really, really about the woman and her partner.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's a birthing partner or a husband or a boyfriend, fantastic.
So should they be the ones dangling the stopwatch? You are feeling sleepy.
They've got to do
heavy.
The Paul McKenna impression.
Yeah.
And
your vagina is a flower.
Your vagina is opening wide. Paul, leave it out. It's disgusting.
Your vagina feels nice. Your vagina feels smooth. Your vagina is oiled.
Can I get you?
Coming out. The baby's coming out now. The baby's coming out. Can you feel the baby coming out?
I need to get her to do the voiceovers for the CDs.
If you pay her, she'll do anything.
You're on. Exactly.
So, look. That could be our CD idea. If we can't do hip hop, clearly, then we could do a hypno birthing.
Wait! I've got an idea for you.
Yeah,
hip hop no birthing. Yeah, right. So like, you do the hypnotherapy training, Jessica. Me and Helen come along and we do hip hop to help
that's
help
amazing.
The birth along.
Yeah, some backwards
because it will
caps.
Be so awful. The woman will just want out of that room.
Yeah, but you won't leave until she's given birth.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. I think that's really good.
I'll just be going.
Yeah, I mean, I would give birth straight away. I mean, I don't even have a baby inside and I want it out. Because I think once you start doing hypnotherapy and stuff, you realise that it's not that. Because I think a lot of people are really scared that it is like the Paul McKenna stage show.
Yeah.
And that you're going to be told that you've got no clothes on. And,
yeah,
if you're giving birth, you might not. but, you know, I think people get a little bit scared of that. But, yeah, I've done all that sort of stuff. I'm well into. I'll give anything like that a go. Past life regression and all that.
Oh, have you done that?
Yeah.
Who were you?
I went back to like being. Because I grew up in a hotel. And I went back to being this little girl in the Victorian era where I had like a little bonnet on and I was in the corner because I'd stolen a pebble. Tragic, isn't it? And also, but this is how I know that it's not real past life, because in my head I was going, would that happen in the Victorian era?
Why would you steal a pebble?
I know, and also, why would you get into trouble for stealing a pebble?
It's just a pebble.
Maybe it was a cake.
A pebble cake.
I don't know. It's a pebble cake.
Even Albert's looking surprised.
Albert's like, Mum, what are you on?
Yeah, no, I had a past life as a successful career woman who had a clean, tidy house and lots of money and had lie-in every weekend.
See, it totally doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's not real. It's just a fantasy. It's just a dream. Oh, good. Hypno chat. What have we done, Helen?
We've cracked that nut.
Oh.
Yes. Although, is that slightly inappropriate for this...
Yeah.
It is now you've said that. Now you've made it awkward. Yes,
now
it is inappropriate.
Now I feel slightly marginalised.
Yeah.
Good. Should I say it again without the...
No, that's going in the edit. That's in.
Let me just trample all over those things.
Yeah, we've been so careful.
We've been really sensitive. Yeah. I like the fact that you said, you know, we want to be really careful that we deal with it sensitively.
Yeah. Let me just say nut. Good. Yeah.
We have come to the end of the show, but before we end, I know...
We've come to that famous part of our show, which is the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Oh, is it famous?
In my head.
Okay. This confession has been sent to us by an anonymous listener. So here we go. We took our kids for lunch at a local tavern. I like how she says tavern because that's better than a pub, isn't it? A local tavern that had just been extensively redecorated and transformed from old school boozer into a fancy gastro pub. Ooh. Oh, I see. Well, it's a tavern, isn't it?
Yeah.
We ordered fish and chips for the kids, as it always buys us at least 5 minutes quiet time. I ignored the fact that my son, almost six, used his bare hands to eat his fish, partly because I was impressed he was eating something other than just chips, and partly because I was enjoying my beer. And we're off. But... I failed to notice until it was too late that he had followed up this class act by rhythmically wiping his greasy hands all over the nearest wall, leaving a massive oil stain on the fresh paint.
Oh.
We spent the rest of the meal arguing about whether to fess up to the waitress.
Oh.
Thank you, lovely listener. Oh, That was a lovely confession there.
Who needs napkins when you've got a nice wall?
I like the fact that he was doing it rhythmically.
Yes, I can see
that.
Like, have you seen The Wicker Man? Like Britt Eklund in The Wicker Man. That's what I imagine. Have you seen where she's slapping the wall naked?
No.
Oh, Google it. It's wonderful. Wonderful, strong piece of artistic cinema. I'm told by anybody who used to be a teenage boy. My scummy mummy confession is that yesterday I took my little boy for a walk in Dulwich Woods with his dad, all very nice. And there was he had his wellies on. There was a big muddy bit with all, you know, his dad could be a little bit uptight and a little bit, you know, and he was all, no, come on, Charlie, be very careful and you must hold my hand and blah, blah. And I was like, just let him go, man. It's all about exploring nature and exploring the woods and let him just walk in the mud. He's got his wellies on. It's cool. At which point, Charlie, of course, fell over flat on his face and splashed. All his wellies and the welly came off and the sock went straight in and it was absolute carnage. And of course we were in the middle of the wood quite away from the car, and with neither of us, we realised at this point had really been keeping a mental note of where we were in the wood or how to get back to the car. Well, I sort of maintained a straight face and was like, well, he's learned a lesson, that's all right. And then we had a row about how to get back to the car, which I won by getting us back to the car. So
done.
The story has a happy ending.
Oh, it does sound like a lovely, lovely afternoon.
What a wonderful Sunday. Yes. Very restful. Oh, Jessica, do you have a confession for us? Not an erotic one, just to be clear.
Well, it's slightly erotic.
All right, go for your life. Why not?
Because you always sort of just manage, you know, you've got to manage things, haven't you? You've got to make sure there's a tick in the old box, so to speak. Hold on.
Why do you have to have a chicken in what box? She's got a tick in the box.
A tick, not a chicken.
Oh, I thought she said you have to make sure you have a chicken in the box.
No, a tick in each box.
I don't know what your husband's looks like. You're being
your mum. Oh, watch out. That's gross.
Right, sorry. You have to tick the box.
So, you know, you're trying to balance things and make sure you're, you know, keeping yourself available as a woman and as a wife.
Beef yourself.
And so basically, luckily we had somebody looking after Albert for a little while, so they said, you know, you two are tired, why don't you go and have a little nap or whatever. So and my husband and myself went upstairs and had a little nap. Things are just starting to get like we're having a nap, and we're starting to enjoy our nap, so to speak. And then I realised that I've got the monitor on right next to me. Not only that,
that, but the person looking after our son downstairs is his grandma.
Oh, awkward.
Ooh. Oh dear, I know. You look shocked too, Albert.
Yes.
Oh. Well, luckily, I thought of the monitor just in time. Right, I don't mean...
Oh, okay.
Was it his, your husband's mum or your mum? Not that it makes a great deal of difference.
Well, basically, I want to just keep it as grandma so that neither of them that Len listens to this knows which one it was.
Okay.
That's you see right what right. I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh,
because you probably just thought something had got very saucy on the Archers. All yes. of a sudden, going, what's happening there?
So awkward, and out of the goodness of their heart said, yeah, go and have a nap, and then we're there.
Taking advantage. I'd be tempted to try and get out of it by oh... Oh yeah, you've nearly finished putting that shelf up. Oh yeah, well done.
Yeah, that looks great. Yeah.
Oh,
great.
I've got a splinter in my toe. Oh, yeah. Get it out.
Hammer it harder. Oh, thank you, Jessica. That's no a problem. Wonderful confession. Thank you, anonymous listener, for sending yours. And yeah, please keep sending in your Scummy Mummy confessions to scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, or you can message us on the Facebook. It's Scummy Mummies Podcast at Facebook. And also,
you can write to us at Downton Abbey, London,
SE23.itv.com.
That's right. We are on the Twitter at Scummy Mummies. That's how we found you, isn't it?
It is.
We found you on the Twitter at Jessica Pidsley. Is that right?
At Jess Pidsley, but more parenting stuff at Mother Courage.
At Mother Courage. Okay.
Mother with an A. Yeah.
Mother with an A and a U.
Well, I think that's about it, isn't it, Helen?
That's it. Thank you very much for coming to see us, Jessica.
Oh, it's been lovely. Absolutely delightful.
And thank you very much, Albert, for providing some ambiance.
Thank you, Albert. And thank you guys for feeding him constantly during the podcast.
Oh, not at all. I will have to go and buy another 100 weight of fish fingers after this is over. But no, it's been lovely to have both of you. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
You perhaps don't know what you're doing, but the truth is none of us do. We're all making it up as we go along, and the human race has done all right, with a few exceptions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.